One, two, three. Good morning, Tucson, and welcome to this Tuesday edition of the Creative City Show here on 1030 The Voice with me, your host, Zach Yenser. As every day, Monday through Friday, at our new time of 9 to 10, we talk about the people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. And along the way, we envision, debate, and discuss the issues and themes critical towards getting us to that best possible future. Today, I'm excited for my conversation with Colleen Sanchez, the VP of IBM Systems Lab Services and IBM Systems Technical Universities. And the title, if that is still up to date, is really long. I'm excited to get into it a little bit with Colleen here in studio. And then the last half of our hour is our What If section of Tuesday, where we talk about big ideas with big potential for Tucson, and that'll close out our Tuesday. You know, we talked about yesterday, and I'm not putting Colleen on the spot for this, but I actually had a guest on the show yesterday, and he said, I have him on monthly, he curates kind of a Twitter blog about Tucson. He said, you know what, I was driving up in Scottsdale the other day, and all their large enterprises and corporations right on the highway, you drive by, you see them, it's present, loud and proud. He says, this is a rhetorical question, I could be wrong, but why does Tucson hide its business, right? When you think about some of the big companies, Tech Park or whatever the case may be, they're in, he says, I think few people could point them out on a map here in Tucson and where they are. And so I'm excited, I'm on many themes today for my conversation with Colleen Sanchez to talk about the massive role that IBM has played and continues to play in our community that I don't think enough people know about. So we're going to change that. Colleen, it's good to see you again.
Thank you. It's great to see you, and thank you so much for having me on. So yeah, we are a big best kept secret in my view. You are correct with regards to the interview yesterday, having a discussion about driving down Phoenix and seeing all these large successful businesses overall. And then I found myself thinking about that actually just recently, because we hosted an after hours event at IBM Tucson. In that moment, I thought, wow, this is like we're in the movie Frozen and we're opening up the doors, right? And inviting people in, because it's like a lot, just like you said, the awareness is pretty minimal. And we need to figure out how to increase it. And now we're starting to evaluate how to enable community partnerships. So people will come to the University of Arizona Tech Park, in which IBM actually built 41 years ago.
Yeah, last year you celebrated 40 years in Tucson.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think a lot of people know, whenever I hear about IBM, this is just a community observation. Yeah. When we talk about IBM in Tucson, it's always kind of the first 20 years is what I hear about. But for example, IBM is pumping out patents that outpaces almost, you know, all of our other research entities in Tucson.
You are correct.
In Tucson combined, the impact is huge. Tell us a little bit about the 40 years and what you do and what you're up to in Tucson today.
Sure. So from a Tucson-specific mission, from an IBM perspective, it's all about data storage. Now, I think the reason why the first 20 years is always talked about is because of the immense amount of manufacturing that came out of the Tucson facility as well. Though it's important to know that, well, hopefully I don't get in trouble from IBM HR. We're almost 1,000 employees, engineers and scientists working in enterprise data storage.
Here in Tucson.
Yes. Though, understand, with the U of A Tech Park, we're somewhat tucked back where you're not going to see the big, huge IBM sign that we're here. But by the way, we are here and we are very proud. And if you want to come at any point in time, with regard to our community center, we have it open to make sure that we bring the community in as well. Just like I said before, we really are trying to be like Frozen. Open our doors up.
Open up the gates.
Yeah. Yes. At the same time, we have to be careful because there's certain technologies that it's not necessarily appropriate or ready for market to release just yet. So we would just section off in our laboratory, like where we go. And actually engage in the community. Now, just to ensure that you're aware, multiple raised floor laboratories with significant amount of equipment. So I can only imagine a shout out to TEP. They really like us a lot because we pull out a lot of power and they help and assist us with that. And they're enterprise devices. So we're talking about like refrigerator size or bigger systems with hardware components, microcode firmware. Microcode is just instruction on how the hardware should work across the board. So we play with all of that. And I apologize because I didn't mean to geek out when I saw you walking in because I was just looking at the latest data compression algorithm that came from one of our research laboratories and also IBM, we partner, IBM Tucson, we partner. So I was really excited about that. And so I kind of just was more focused on, hey, what those bona fides are. And getting back to your point associated with the patents.
Yeah.
So 2018, we have actually generated, we as an IBM Tucson, 3x the state institutional patents. So that means U of A plus ASU plus NAU.
Amazing.
And we're 3x the intellectual property that comes out. We have really gifted, smart people here. And I think of, I don't know, and the reason why I remain in Tucson after graduating from the University of Arizona, this is the Silicon Desert. And people need to realize it is.
So I said something on the air the other day, and I think it's catching on because someone listening reminded me of it. I said Tucson is a town that talks more about its tacos and trails than its tech and talent.
Wow.
And not that we shouldn't talk about our tacos and trails. I just think we should talk about our tech and talent at least as much because we have it. Not yet maybe where we want it to be, but we have it. We just don't talk about it. And just for context on your remark, Helene, ASU just broke into the top 10 list of universities countrywide. Yes. In terms of producing the most patents, ASU. So IBM is 3Xing that plus NAU plus U of A. That's incredible. And it's right here in Tucson.
Yeah. So the total for IBM for a complete state, 448 patents.
Jeez.
In 2018. How much of the 448 is Tucson? 417.
Really?
Yes. So, and by the way, it's across the board. It's some of the richest technology. So you're right. We've got to figure out how to yell from the rooftops. Like, here are the skills that we have to really substantiate, like, hey, this is the place that you should notice.
Right.
Because it makes a lot of sense.
And those patents mostly revolve around areas like data storage and retrieval, cloud computing, cybersecurity, and artificial intelligence.
Correct.
The Tucson hub is really an innovation hub for those pieces of IBM's business, correct?
Correct. And what the other thing that I'll just highlight, so data storage, no doubt, is the vast majority of that. We just recently partnered with Pima Community College because they opened the cybersecurity range. Mm. Which for us, we thought that's huge because that's when inventors and scientists can come together, right? Or future students wanting to learn about cybersecurity practices. And so also, I really truly believe what Lee Lambert and team are doing.
Correct.
With at Pima, that's a best kept secret as well.
It really is.
Because that security range is a big deal. So as soon as they were announcing it, we were all over it. We had over 20 of our folks come to enable or participate in the launch.
Mm-hmm. You're talking statewide in terms of our university. So I'll go here for a minute. Mm-hmm. I was a part of the Arizona State ecosystem for a few years. So yeah. I know kind of the innovation and forward thinking that Michael Crow brings to that university and community. I think President Robbins is going to start to show that as he gets more settled into the position. I think Lee Lambert is a massive example of kind of a local Tucson version of some of the thought leadership that Michael Crow is bringing to our neighbors up north. A lot of people I heard in the beginning were saying, what is Lee Lambert up to? This is not what a community college does. This is not what they're supposed to do. What are they doing? I'm all in. I think he's shown what he's been up to the last few years, and I think it's a major innovation that we aren't shouting from the rooftops enough, his really workforce readiness approach to education.
I agree. And so, of course, from a Dr. Robbins, Dr. Crow's perspective, we always need engineers and scientists. So we are going to actively recruit those deep skills that we require. At the same time, we need more. We need to generate a number of technical skills at scale. Well, the community colleges do that for us.
Yes.
And so that's why we think, and we as an IBM think that we have to look at alternative education sources because we need to grow and scale for American competitiveness.
Absolutely. I'm talking with Colleen Sanchez here in studio, Vice President of IBM here locally in Tucson. Tucson is a location of IBM that focuses on data storage and retrieval, cloud computing, cybersecurity, and artificial intelligence. You mentioned Silicon Desert and also the need for talent. When we come back from the break, let's dig into that and kind of your view maybe of Tucson and those areas and continue to talk about what you provide Tucson, but what can Tucson continue to provide for maybe IBM in that sense to continue kind of thriving together here in our community.
Okay, sounds good.
We'll be right back, Tucson. Don't go away. By the way, 790-2040 is our Why I Love Where I Live live line, our special sponsor live line on Tuesdays. Give us a call. Join the conversation. You're on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Tucson, welcome back to my interview with Colleen Sanchez, a local vice president of IBM here in Tucson. We have so much to get into in the final 10 minutes of our time together, but you just shared a cool story about one of the inspirations for moving to Tucson. Can you share that story real quick?
Yeah, sure. Of course, an ugly, devastating event occurred in 1986. My father worked for the University of Florida as a professor in water sciences, and he basically wanted to eventually come to Arizona. I was a big proponent of wanting to come to Tucson. He is a professor still at the University of Arizona, but the reason why I was so excited is because it was IBM scientists here in Tucson who were able to abstract bits of data off the fragments of media on the bottom of the ocean to put together some of the final moments of the flight recorder.
Really?
Yes. And so I was just so excited. I was like, Dad, let's move to Tucson. And he said, well, yeah. He goes, why? And I was like, well, I want to meet a bunch of rock stars. He goes, well, Colleen, those aren't really rock stars. We'll talk about it. I was like, one of them actually kind of is because he has long hair. He somewhat looks that way.
I love it. It is a story. When you told me that story, it speaks to the innovation that IBM has brought and continues to bring in the community. I want to touch on two themes while I have you here, and it's a real honor, Colleen Sanchez. One is you kind of air quoted in studio here, Silicon Desert.
Yes.
I want to know what you see in Tucson in terms of tech and larger enterprise, right? What excites you? But I also want to maybe tap into what's an area that maybe you think Tucson needs to grow a little bit more in. Let's start with the Silicon Desert. What do you mean by that? That term, I've heard it before, and it might have been from the article you were in Biz Tucson, but what do you mean by Silicon Desert?
So I really see, so I fly to the Silicon Valley in California, yet there's so much invention and intellectual property coming out of Southern Arizona. And by the way, we happen to live in a desert. So I thought to myself, okay, let's marry the two and say, okay, Silicon Desert. And it is completely grounded on the amount of innovation coming from this area. And what's amazing about it is with the Southern Arizona Leadership Council a bit ago, you know, President Crow like spoke on stage about the richness and the wonder with regards to the intellectual property coming from this area. And I was so proud in that moment. Yeah. It's like here you have a president of a university in Phoenix coming down to Southern Arizona to tell this huge crowd of business owners and leaders, hey, you're relevant and you provide for a substantial amount of intellectual property. So be proud.
Amazing. I was a part of an entrepreneurship and innovation ecosystem event recently, and there's a lot of things that are starting to move.
Yeah.
But one of the things that isn't, and I was surprised to hear this because it's what I do, is storytelling. We don't tell these stories enough. We don't talk about it enough. Colleen Sanchez, why do we talk about our tacos and trails more than we do our tech and talent? Is that a problem in your mind? And what would be your encouragement for Tucson? Because we've got some good things going here. We just don't talk about it.
I agree. It was actually a conversation I just recently had with Carol Stewart, the leader of the Tech Parks for the University of Arizona. And we were talking about how to do short, consumable video blogs to really highlight this voice of, hey, we can make a difference and enable some opportunity. So with regards to what skills from a technology standpoint. Now, and also talk about incubation of innovation and invention. So anyways, long story short, Carol and I had a great conversation about really talking about why we're relevant from a technology standpoint. And she's a great partner at the U of A Tech Park because we want to do more of that. And by the way, the Tech Park is doing a lot with their innovation center. And it's nice because it's an incubation.
Right.
Actually, I'll say it differently. Because I several years back, raised a toddler. It's a sandbox.
Yeah.
And that's what's cool about it is you have industry representatives as well as university and students, members and students coming together in the sandbox and, you know, playing with their ideas. It's a big deal.
Yeah. So on that note, Colleen Sanchez, we have about 5 minutes and it flies by. IBM requires a lot of kind of talented, skilled workers, a very specific kind of kind of skill and expertise. What can Tucson be doing even better to support IBM or larger enterprises like IBM? If you had a magic wand for a day, what would you shake it at?
So I would say that we need more and more data scientists, technical scientists that come to bear. And that could be trained via higher education universities or possibly community colleges as well.
Right.
Especially as it relates to girls in STEM. And by the way, I happen to be of the female gender type. So they shouldn't be afraid of it. Math is not as hard as what some may think it is. It does take practice and discipline, but it's great. So if I had a wand, it would just be increase the numbers of technologists that can become available so we can continue to invent and enable things like artificial intelligence. By the way, I consider that augmented intelligence because AI is here for the benefit of humans. And we need more of them to enable that.
You answered in a way that was short enough to allow my final question because you made me ask a question in my head from what you said. and that is, are we pumping out the talent that you need at IBM here in our region? In other words, we've talked about this before. Do we have the talent to fill the positions you need, or do we have positions to fill but not the right skilled workforce to fill? You said you need more data scientists. Are we pumping them out of the U of A, ASU, Pima Community College, and they're just not somehow getting connected to you guys? Or do you know what I'm trying to say? What's the gap?
It's a great point, because it was something that I was just recently speaking to Pima Community College about, is like how we could partner to influence curriculum and also enable programs like apprenticeship programs, so that we can marry this aspect of, or make something synergistic between education institutions and IBM overall. And so that was something we've been talking about, what we could do. So I think for us, from an IBM leadership perspective, we really want to influence curriculum, but we want to influence curriculum for the benefit of making it relevant worldwide. For an example, I have to bring this up. I just, like in title that you read a bit ago, I own a worldwide lab services team. What do they do? It's like 1,000+ consultants worldwide. Jeez. We do business in 163 countries. I'd like to do more of that business here in the U.S.
Absolutely. Oh, Colleen Sanchez, we are out of time, unfortunately. But I think we covered everything we wanted to cover, at least on my end. I really appreciate your time and telling the IBM story. There's a great article I think we can refer folks to. You wrote a basic 40-year timeline of IBM last year for the 40th anniversary. And I think just those search terms, 40-year history IBM, search it. I think it's a star article. And folks can see what IBM has meant to this community over the years. We talked more present day, what it means to Tucson today. Thank you for what you do in the community. Thank you for your influence and leadership. And I hope this is the first of many conversations.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Colleen Sanchez, local VP here of IBM Tucson. When we come back from our bottom of the hour news, we'll do our what if part of the hour. Big ideas for big impact in Tucson. Don't go away. Tucson, welcome back to the Creative City Show here on this Tuesday, September 17th, 2019. If you just missed or you caught the last part of my interview with Colleen Sanchez, she's a local vice president with the longest title I've ever seen in my life. There's no way I'm going to memorize it in this hour, but she is a local vice president of some very specific things here at their hub in Tucson. And it was the first time that Colleen was on the program, and wow, incredible stuff. And it certainly leads into the what if portion of our program. We talk about big ideas for Tucson. It was interesting. I don't line these things up on purpose. I'm baffled myself every single time how days of the week, interviews of the week, really combined to make sense together. An example is I talked with Louis Christensen yesterday about why does Tucson hide its business, right? In the sense, when you go to other communities, and not all of them, and this isn't monolithic, but you go to a lot of other communities, and they're, especially larger enterprises, are kind of front and center in the community. You're driving down the highway, you see them, you know where they are. In Tucson, it's pretty hidden, right? And I count myself in this number. By the way, I just had Colleen Sanchez on the show, and I'm going to admit to you that if you pulled up a map of Tucson, I know now, they're over at UA Tech Park. I was there a couple weeks ago doing this show there, so I know now. But if you asked me yesterday, or as I was prepping this show, where's IBM in Tucson? You could have paid me $1 million. I couldn't have given you the right answer. You know, didn't know where it was. How many, and I could be wrong on this, how many, if we said, point on a map where Geico's new headquarters are in Tucson, how many could point those out on a map? Louis brought up that point. He was asking more of a rhetorical question, right? It's what we do on the program. We talk about big ideas. How interesting was it to sit across from Colleen Sanchez and go, yeah, your friend's right. Louis's on it. We do that either intentionally or unintentionally. So it's interesting how Monday's show and Tuesday's show connects in really interesting ways. I want to, at least in this segment, just real quick circle back. I've got two ideas for you. Number one, we talked on this show before about this idea of micro colleges, which is a really faddish sounding name for what Colleen Sanchez mentioned on the air. And that is, they're partnering with Pima Community College specifically around creating more rapid workforce training around what IBM needs, right? So our community colleges, especially how Chancellor Lee Lambert has set it up here, and I'm a Lee Lambert fan. It's one of those things where I am 100% behind what he's doing. In a sense, it's very rarely on any issue am I this way, but this is one issue where I could hear 10 criticisms and I would still be a super fan because I'm really bought into what he's doing. I think even if it's not in its full completion right now, it's on the right track. I think what he's bringing to Tucson is incredible. And that is working with companies like IBM to say, look, IBM, you hire 1,000 people here. You want to hire 2,000? We'll work with you to train the data scientists that you need. And because it's a community college, they can probably more rapidly than even the University of Arizona or ASU's campus here, which is more social work focused here in Tucson, can more quickly develop a curriculum and pair it with companies. And it's a very, it's a futuristic way of education that Tucson is actually innovating, right? So my new favorite statement, and it's catching on, so I'll keep saying it, is Tucson talks about its tacos and trails more than our tech and talent. And when it comes to things like what PCC is doing to help mold a workforce for the present day needs of companies that we already have here in Tucson, that's a big deal. And I think we should celebrate it. I don't hear it talked about enough. I talk about it, but I feel like I'm the only one talking about it, which is okay. That's cool. I don't mind doing that, but we should all be talking about it, in my opinion. So that's a really interesting kind of what if idea that I think needs to be continued. And Pima Community College is doing that, not just with IBM, but with TuSimple, with many other companies around the city to say, look, we can turn around a curriculum much faster as a two-year institution than some of our four-year institution friends and partners. So let's do that. Let's do that together. The other what if idea I wanted to process through, call into our Why I Love Where I Live live line 790-2040 to add to this conversation, because I'm going to throw an idea out there and I want your input and I want your thoughts. I was at a summit, a leadership summit a couple weeks ago, and it was mentioned that Arizona often feels like a one city state. I hear that a lot from local policymakers. Some of it I buy into, some of it I don't, because I think it can become a crutch and an excuse at some level. But basically that a lot of the funding, the attention, the moving, that the economic development forces in our state prioritize Maricopa County before they even think of north or south, let alone prioritize north or south. This is at least the line that I hear a lot from local policymakers. And again, I think part of it is true, and I think part of it, you know, may just kind of start to become an excuse. And here's why. Is we have, for example, an IBM, right, that hires 1,000 people, that is pumping out patents single-handedly that top our three public universities here in the state that need workers, that need people. This is a version of economic gardening in my mind, right? On the one hand, Tucson says we can't get enough big ABC companies to come to Tucson. We've had IBM for 40 years, right? And IBM has shrunk a little bit, but they're still here. And their leadership is here on purpose, right? So many big enterprises really put cities on the knife's edge, right? Because you incentivize them to come here. You build them buildings, you try to get them here, and then their decision to stay or not is dependent on their global shareholders, not the city of Tucson, right? So when it makes economic sense, a private industry operating in a free market system will make the best shareholder decision. It's fine. That's what's supposed to happen. This is the deal that cities make. But when you have a company like IBM, who's been here for 40 years and isn't going to go anywhere, is tied to the university, tied to U of A Tech Park, tied into what's going on here, has a history here. I think we need to be talking more in Tucson of, hey, how do we resource that, right? You need 1,000 data scientists? Let's get a plan to get that in your hands over the next 2 years. Economic gardening, taking advantage of what you already have here, promoting it, storytelling it, investing in it, supporting it, and growing it, right? We Tucson wants to bring in big companies. We don't talk about the ones that we have, right? I mean, Raytheon gets all the love, and they should, U of A gets all the love, and they should, right? These are all good things. They've been around for a long time. It's all good. But Texas Instruments is building a building, right? We don't talk about Texas Instruments here in Tucson. When was the last time you heard Texas Instruments mentioned, if it wasn't this show or the article 2 months ago about them breaking ground on their new building? I mean, am I off base? 790-2040. My job is to ask the question. Your job is to call in and tell me if I'm on track or not, honestly. 790-2040. It's our Why I Love Where I Live live line. You don't hear us talk about Texas Instruments. Geico represents a kind of call center industry that's been a foundation of Tucson for a while. We need to diversify beyond that. I'm there. But we don't talk about Geico. We don't talk about Texas Instruments. We don't talk about IBM. And in my mind, before we start trying to grab more and more, why don't we just take care of what we have, right? Why don't we build our reputation off of what we have? Why don't we grow what is organically developing out of Tucson as we speak? Before we try to go out and get what we think we don't have. Because my hunch is if we do well with what we have, it will create the buzz and the brand we need to bring in what we don't have. And by the way, there are still some political forces, and I'm not saying that in a pejorative way, that still make it difficult for larger enterprises to make the decision to come to Tucson. Okay, so be it. Instead of saying we got to have this sea change, right, before anything can happen, why don't we take advantage of what we have and invest in it, grow it, develop it, brand it, storytell it, and I think the rest will come after that. There is so much bubbling up in Tucson, but Tucson is a town that talks more about its tacos and trails than it does its tech and talent. And let me repeat, if you just jumped on the air, that is not saying we shouldn't talk about our tacos and trails. We are a U.S. city of gastronomy. We are an outdoor city. Those things have been and will continue to be and should continue to be a part of Tucson's brand. But we've got some things bubbling up on our tech and creative and entrepreneurship and innovation that we just don't care to talk about in Tucson. And we should, because I think we'd be surprised that everything that we're wishing for right now, we actually have a glimpse of it in Tucson right now. We just don't care to invest in it or talk about it. And by the way, that's a call to action for people like you and me, right? This is not a conversation for electeds. This is not a conversation for business or leadership community. This is a citizen conversation. This starts with us to realize what we have here and what we're talking about, in my opinion. And this is not some woo-woo civic engagement. This starts with us, right? If you go on your social media feed, it's a 10-to-1 ratio of some publication in New York talking about Tucson's tacos and trails, right? Spend 3 days in Tucson and walk these great trails and have these great tacos. Awesome. We need 50 of those articles. But I think we need at least 50 talking about innovation. I will give props here, right? Because if I know about this happening and I don't say something, it would be wrong. The Metro Chamber just came out with a publication that is incredibly focused on innovation in Tucson, right? If I gave this spiel and I didn't mention that, right, didn't celebrate that, it would be wrong of me. And so there is some more intentional conversation around our tech and talent here in Tucson. We just need more of it. And I think if we talk about it more, I think a lot more problems than we realize will be solved. I think it starts there. Tucson, that takes us to our final break of the hour. You're on 1030 The Voice. This is the Creative City Show with me, your host, Zach Yenser. We'll be back to finish our What If part of the hour. Don't forget, you can call in and contribute to the conversation, 790-2040. It's our Why I Love Where I Live live line special on Tuesday. Don't go away, Tucson. We'll be right back. Tucson, welcome back to this fast-paced hour here on the Creative City Show. On Tuesday, we often focus on what-if big ideas for Tucson. I think I failed in this hour, I'll be honest. I think that I failed you. I didn't talk about enough big ideas. I would make the claim that what I've been talking about in the last 15 minutes are not big ideas that are out there or hard to do. I think they are big in their potential impact, but they're not big to start or think about. I've been reviewing a little bit a book that came out called The Code, Silicon Valley and the Remaking of America. Now, there's a lot of blind spots, a lot of holes, a lot of things that nobody should want to repeat out of Silicon Valley. But Colleen talked about how one of the things that draws her to Tucson, hear this, big company, major global organization, top research organization, a vice president of it, is here in Tucson on purpose. Can we just pause for a minute? Can I tell you that is a treasure in Tucson? You're not going to find too many C-suite leaders of big enterprises in Tucson that are committed to the community for the community's sake. I think that needs to be spotlighted. This is not a cheering section. I think that's just important. Because a lot of big companies that I talk to care about the community at a kind of community service level. But in terms of having a deep, long-lasting vision for what Tucson could be, and it drives their existence in the city, I don't think that happens as much as we think it does. And I think to have a Colleen Sanchez is really a gift in that way. But this book talks about how there is almost kind of a knowledge transfer, kind of a next generation of entrepreneurship and innovation that comes from some of these larger enterprises in Seattle, in Silicon Valley, so on and so forth. A lot of blind spots, a lot of challenges, but still lots that we can learn. I think we'll end the hour talking about a couple of those. But let's go to our Why I Love Where I Live live line. Tom called 790-2040 to join the conversation. Tom, I appreciate your time. Go ahead.
Yeah, I worked at IBM, and I do love the company, but I will tell you this, unless there's something holding them contractually to Tucson, they could leave in a week, you know. The business decisions are made at a higher level, and, you know, I mean, I know they made a decision, 40 years ago, as I well know, to come here, but those don't, you know, they're not everlasting. Okay, that's number one. And number two, onto this idea. If Raytheon were to want to come to Tucson tomorrow, ask yourself the true question, would Tucson really want them? You know the atmosphere in Tucson, and just really be, you know, consider that thought. I mean, we're business friendly to a point, so I'll leave you with that, all right?
Tom, I appreciate it. I'm left wondering if you meant to say Raytheon coming here. Just to clarify, I mean, Raytheon is here. So I wondered if there was maybe another company. I mean, Raytheon is probably Raytheon in the U of A, and I think Pima County is up there as well, are definitely in the top five. But the other aspect of what you were talking about Tom is, you know, I mentioned that, you know, even earlier, most large enterprises who I don't think have the local commitment necessarily that you hear from Colleen Sanchez here with IBM are making choices that are above the pay grade of who's here locally. But all the more reason, and if I'm naive or missing something, call me 790-2040. All the more reason to focus as much time and attention as possible to supporting and growing and making it possible for those larger enterprises like IBM to exist in our community and stay over the long haul. By the way, I want to make sure that it's clear that I'm not talking out of two sides of my mouth. I am a huge small business advocate, a huge local company, local grown advocate. I'm a huge small and mid-sized enterprise advocate. But as I'm learning and as I'm looking at other communities, I'm finding that the environment for the success of smaller and mid-sized enterprises is really defined by the partnership, if you will, with larger enterprises, in the sense of at the appropriate level, incentivized or not appropriately, connected to the community or not. All those decisions have to be made well, but you need the IBMs, the Intels, the Raytheons, the Caterpillar type companies. You need that as a part of the whole to make it easier for small and mid-sized enterprise to succeed. It's an observation, but I thought that would be relevant. And when you look at Seattle, when you look at Austin, actually, Austin is really the poster child of this. If you look at Silicon Valley, again, places with their own problems, we should look at them and not repeat their mistakes. But when you look at those communities, there was really a collaboration between the founded larger enterprise and the mentorship and development of the new entrepreneurship and new innovation that was coming out of the community. I was really happy to see, I asked Tom a question, one of our callers on our Why I Love Where I Live live line, and they called back in to clarify. I appreciate it. If Raytheon were to come in today from scratch, right, not being here, but if they were to come in today, 2019, September 17th, would they? And I thought it was an interesting rhetorical question based on our climate around these issues. I've got about 3 minutes left, and I have Josh on the line. He also called in our Why I Love Where I Live live line today, 790-2040. Josh, you're on. Go ahead.
Yeah, to answer the question, if Raytheon was going to move somewhere from scratch, they would not come to Tucson today. And to the previous caller's point, you know, about 5-6 years ago, Raytheon was looking to dramatically expand some of their production facilities. And nobody in the Tucson political establishment even engaged with them until they read in the newspaper that Raytheon was expanding in Huntsville. That's when they learned that Raytheon needed to expand production. And that just goes to show that the local political establishment in Tucson really treats Raytheon with contempt. And it wasn't, and then finally they started saying, huh, gee, maybe we should engage them and see what they need here in town. And another thing that Raytheon confronts that nobody kind of likes to talk about is they have a very difficult time recruiting talent from other parts of the country to move to Tucson. It's very difficult.
These are great points, Josh. Thank you for calling in. I can back up what Josh is saying because I hear this from larger enterprises in town. This is something that I hear from the leadership themselves, not a talking point or not anything like that. The political community locally makes it very difficult for larger enterprises to do well and thrive and consider relocation. So just from an observation standpoint, just from what I hear, I can just validate from those conversations what Josh is speaking to here when he called 790-2040. And if that's what Tucson wants, and it seems many times that is, that is Tucson defining its own future. I think I want to zoom back 20 to 30,000 square foot. Not proposing corporate welfare, as there's a term for that, not proposing that we turn into into Seattle or Austin in 5 years. Again, if you look at those cities, there's a lot you don't want to repeat there. But looking at the broader, what they call ecosystem, the broader environment for our small and mid-sized enterprise to thrive, for all that we do well here in Tucson to thrive, we need to be also creating space for those larger enterprises to be successful. I don't think that we've figured out how to have that conversation well. And I think our callers today hit on a lot of important points that I, again, hear reflected in the community. And sometimes that's just my job here is to say, hey, here's what I'm hearing. Is it what you're hearing? Okay, we have a problem. What's the solution? How do we get there? That's what you tune in for here on The Creative City Show with me, your host, Zach Yenser, on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Doug, Jen, and Victoria coming up. Bill Buckmaster locally after that. We'll see you tomorrow, Tucson, 9 a.m., our new time. Take care.